Hackers are after your business data. I can help. I am Vi, the virtual intelligence assistant at Virtual Armor.
Virtual Armor, partnered with Juniper Networks, provides cybersecurity services and end-to-end solutions to keep what's yours, yours. Defend yourself with managed firewall and managed SIM essential core services that are economical and efficient. Virtual Armor goes beyond just initial alerting to provide a thorough report on threats, vulnerabilities, and results.
Let me help protect you. Contact me at justaskvi. That's vi.com.
You're in the clubhouse with Kyle Bailey.
With the third pick in the 2020 NBA draft, the Charlotte Hornets select LaMelo Ball from Chino Hills, California.
And there it is. With the number three overall pick, LaMelo Ball in the teal and purple. The Ball family coming back to the Queen City. Former Carolina Panther, LaVar Ball, making it back to Charlotte, North Carolina. Briefly, a Carolina Panther. Welcome in, Sports Radio FNZ. Kyle Bailey with you here in the clubhouse. And a special guest, only in the way that he's just here at a different time. He's special, believe me, in lots of ways that we don't need to get into. He is typically here on Thursdays.
Well played.
During the lunch hour.
What a jerk.
But well, because played. This is a special occasion, we do have Coach Matt Daugherty, longtime Tar Heel, national champion, former head coach, ACC network analyst. He knows a thing or two about round ball. Coach Matt Daugherty back in studio for the opening hour of this NBA draft reaction show. Coach, it's good to have you in.
Yeah, it's good day to be a Hornet.
Yeah, no question about it. I let me start with what I said to the Mac Attack, and I'll say it to you, and I want your reaction to this, as we've got a lot to say about what happened last night. My general opinion and view of the draft going into last night was James Wiseman was the guy that I was hoping they would pursue. Mm-hmm. I would have been happy with Onyeka Okongwu. Mm-hmm. I understand the appeal of Anthony Edwards, and I could be sold on LaMelo Ball. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that I will push back against for those out there, you know, skeptical of this pick from last night, because it is somewhat polarizing. There's a divide between those who seemingly love it and those who seemingly hate it. Nobody knows what this pick's going to be.
100%.
And the fact of the matter is, you know, LaMelo Ball is 6'7 with a 6'10 wingspan, very athletic, comes from a basketball family. He's been professionalized twice. He has elite court vision. He's a great passer, and there are things about his game that need to be improved.
Right.
He's got a chance, if he wants to be great, if he wants to be coached, to be a great player. But like anybody else who's ever been drafted in the history of the NBA, it's about the work, the commitment, the fit. If those things aren't right, then it won't work out. If they are, then it will. We're not going to know what LaMelo Ball is in the NBA probably for a couple of years, but there's no reason to hate this pick today, I don't think.
No, I think you embrace the pick. First of all, last time we were on the show, we talked about the possibility of Mitch Kupchak and the Hornets trading up to improve their stock in the draft and maybe go after Wiseman. And I admire the fact that if that was on the table, the discipline to hold tight. Because they were going to get a similar player at 1, 2, or 3. And what do I mean by that? Different positions, but similar star potential. Like, there's no guarantee that Anthony Edwards is going to be an NBA star. There's no guarantee that Wiseman will be a star. There's no guarantee that Ball will be a star. But I think you bunch those three together and say, these three are the most likely to be star NBA players.
Yeah.
So to sit tight and get a player like LaMelo Ball at 3, I would have been happy with Wiseman. I would have been happy with Edwards. So I think that's what you do. When I work for the Pacers, we'd put them in buckets. Like, what's the bucket? Like, well, that's the all-star bucket is the first three to me. And then the next three are the next category: Patrick Williams, Okoro, Okongwu, Toppin. I'm a little concerned about Hayes at 7. That would be the next bucket. So then you say, okay, I'm okay with anybody in this bucket. Now, if I want to move to a bigger bucket, a nicer bucket, then obviously, you got to make a trade. But so there's different levels, there are different plateaus, if you will, of the draft, and I'm thrilled as a Hornet fan. And for the relationships I have in that organization, that they got a guy that could be a perennial all-star. Could be. No guarantee, but could be.
I want to say this right up front, because there are a lot of basketball reasons, I think, to like the pick, and there are some basketball reasons to question the pick. But as we've talked about, and I think needs to be reemphasized, Unfortunately for LaMelo, and this is largely out of his control, much of the way that a good faction of this fan base and basketball fans in general view LaMelo Ball is through the prism, through the lens of his father, mm-hmm. and through the lens of, you know, LaVar Ball and the sideshow and the circus and the media appearances and the brash, brazen way that he talks and calls out Michael Jordan and calls out, you know, people in other organizations. And Alonzo is the greatest thing of all time. No, LaMelo is the greatest thing of all time. LiAngelo's in the Oklahoma City Thunder G League organization right now. He's going to be a future. LaVar is a guy who has a... at the very least, has a very good grasp on how to draw attention to himself and how to capitalize on said attention. I don't think his kids are like that. In fact, I would encourage anybody out there to go read something that was written a couple of days ago by Joe Vardon over at The Athletic. And I talked to Joe this morning. I was hoping to get him on today. If not, we'll try to do that tomorrow or Monday of next week. But Joe Vardon, senior NBA writer for The Athletic, profiled the season that LaMelo spent at the Spire Academy in Ohio. And it was that in-between year, I think, in between Lithuania and Australia. And he was playing at this prep academy in Ohio. And I won't spoil it, but it's a very interesting read and one that I would encourage any Hornets fan to go take a look at. It's a lengthy read, but basically it profiles and follows the year that he was there at Spire Academy. And what you really end up taking away from it was, yes, there was a sideshow, a circus that followed them, you know, because of LaVar and the big baller brand and things like that. But what this story does is paint, I think, a pretty clear picture of a young man, and I'm hesitant to call him a kid, but he's 19 years old. It paints a picture of a young man who was well-liked, his teammates liked him, his coaches and his teachers liked him, that he was humble and likable, much more so than I think some people would expect on the surface, because they just associate the Ball name and the Ball family with the BBB and the big brash, there we go, the alliteration, that was unintentional, you know, just the over-the-top media appearances. It doesn't appear to be who this kid is. Mm-hmm. You got to focus on the basketball. And once upon a time, Coach, you know this, he's drawn some Jason Kidd comparisons. When Jason Kidd got to the NBA, Jason Kidd couldn't hit water from a boat.
No.
And you know, awful the joke shooter. Was he was acing Kidd because he couldn't find the J. And by the end of his career, he was a fantastic shooter from the three-point line. So there's a lot to work with here at 19 years old.
Well, the thing is, what I've seen is shots not broken. Like when the Hornets drafted... I'm drawing a blank. The kid from Kentucky.
P.J. Washington.
No.
MKG. I'm sorry.
MKG, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. That shot was broken. Like that, you know, you had to break that thing and break his arms and start from freaking scratch. Almost been better off making him left-handed. That's how bad his technique was. LaMelo's form is not awful. So your starting point is a lot better. The other thing that I think that... and was mentioned earlier on this show, kids now hear their weaknesses more often because social media, it's more in their face. It used to be people were afraid to tell people how, you know, what's wrong with their game. Now, you know, it's out there in the open and he's like, well, maybe I need to work on my jumper. Maybe I need to do this. And the fact that his brother has been in the NBA, already traded, and has reworked his jump shot. I'm sure all that will trickle down to LaMelo. And the things you could fix when you're looking at players and you say, okay, everyone's got something wrong with them. What can you fix? You can improve a jump shot. You can improve the body, you know, physical body. Someone could lose weight. Someone could gain weight. Those are things you can improve, the jump shot and your body. And he needs a little more strength, but you get a tighter jump shot on that. He has a chance to be special. And I think, again, there's only three players in this draft in my mind that had a chance to be special, and the Hornets got one of them. Now, will somebody else be special? Chances are yes. I mean, yes. Who thought Stephen Curry was going to be as good as he was?
Not many people.
You know, Jimmy Butler. Yes, there will be exceptions, but we can only go off of the information we have at this point.
No doubt. And I'm taking a glance at the Building Center text line right now, and it's coming in exactly as I would expect. Some people love it, think it's a great pick. Others hate the pick. That it was always going to be the most polarizing pick of the top three players that you just talked about there. We didn't know who would go number one. We knew there was more uncertainty than maybe in the last several years of NBA drafts, but we did, I think, by the end know that it would be Wiseman or Edwards or Ball, you know, in the top three in some order. And LaMelo was always going to be the most polarizing of those three because of his last name.
Right.
If you took away his last name and made him someone a bit more nondescript, I think more people would look at the measurables, the dimensions, listen to some of the great things that have been said about him and say, okay, nothing's a guarantee, but there's a lot here foundationally to work with. And I did hear Chris Patola this morning on the Mac Attack come on and say, you know, pretty definitively, he doesn't like the pick. I talked to Spatola last week, 2 weeks ago, and Spatola was saying that, you know, he loved Wiseman, but thought that even Ogunquu was the best NBA player, ready player in this draft. There are a range of opinions. Mike Schmitz last night, who was on that panel in studio with Reese Davis and Jay Billis and Jay Williams, Mike kept insisting throughout the early portion of that draft, Coach, as you heard, that LaMelo Ball was the best talent in the NBA draft. So there are a lot of people who feel the opposite of Chris Spatola, that LaMelo Ball has the potential to be by far the best player in this NBA draft.
Well, that's why we get paid to talk about it.
Correct. That's what we do.
You know, we could all just shut our mouths and wait for 3 years.
What fun would that be?
Wouldn't be very much fun.
It wouldn't be very much fun at all.
And so you make a decision, and here at three, the decision was made for the Hornets. Now, you could say, okay, they should have maybe traded down and got Ogunquu. Ogunquu could be a, most ready-made, ready to play. Yeah, that's okay. I get that. Tyler Hansborough was very ready to play from college to the NBA, but other guys bypassed him. And he helped the Pacers for a couple of years in their playoff run. He was the most ready to play out of the draft, one of them. And so, yeah, that's great, but we're projecting in the draft now. You are projecting because most of these players are 19, 20 years old.
No question. And texters writing in, Building Center text line, Coach Pauly saying, how can anyone hate or love any pick the day after a draft? You know, wait and see is all you can do. No one is correct or wrong at this point. And I would take you back a year ago, well, more than that, actually, but a year and a couple of months ago, to the last NBA draft where the night of, I'm hosting a Hornets season ticket holders event, a watch party with Coach Daugherty and Muggsy Bogues and Eric Collins and company. Matt Daugherty and Muggsy Bogues are the only two guys telling me that P.J. Washington is the right pick that night. You know, they make the pick of P.J. Washington. I liked him, didn't love him, went home and watched a lot of tape that night, showed up the next day and said, guys, I think this kid can really play.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, he comes out the opening night of the season, drops 27, ends up being a second-team All-NBA rookie selection, rising stars game. No, we don't know definitively what anybody is the day after the draft, but in terms of projecting, as Coach just said, you know, and trying to see into the future how this all might work, it is a pick that could make a lot of sense. It all depends upon what they surround him with, you know, and the way they continue to mold this roster. I can guarantee you one thing. This is not the final product of a roster that you're going to see take the floor just over a month from now. They got a log jam in the backcourt right now. They drafted a couple of 6'10", 6'11 centers last night that will probably spend some time in Greensboro in the G League with the Swarm. They've got, you know, other decisions to make, possibly with trades on the horizon. Free agency is going to be quick, but they've got a little bit of money. Can they lure a guy like Joe Harris to Charlotte? Because if LaMelo Ball is going to be your floor general, you know, for the next 5 or 10 years, you need shooters.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Harris is a great one. And I want to talk about some of this when we come back. Not just LaMelo, but the moves they made in the second round last night. That first pick of the second round, number 32 overall, Vernon Carey out of Duke, that surprised some people. But I brought Vernon Carey up to smoke on air last week, and I want to talk about why I think that one could really pan out. You're in the clubhouse on Sports Radio FNZ.
Sports Radio FNZ.
The ACC plays here.
There's nobody home. Touchdown.
We are Charlotte.
Sports Radio FNZ.
To me, what the league is nowadays is playmakers. At the guard spot, at the wing spot, guys that can make plays for others, make, you know, the right play. And he makes it look effortless. I mean, he's a hell of a talent. I'm thrilled to have him. And I think he fits our style of play. So we couldn't be happier. I think it's a heck of a pick for our franchise, for our organization, for our city. And I couldn't be more happy.
James Borrego, head coach of your Charlotte Hornets. You'll hear him a little bit later this afternoon with Nick Wilson and Stan Norfleet. He'll talk more about last night's third overall pick as the Hornets land LaMelo Ball, a 6'7 shooting guard with a 6'10 wingspan and a little bit of baggage, if we're being honest. I don't know if LaMelo Ball will end up being the best basketball decision the Hornets could have made last night, but I do think at the very least he was a good business decision because there's a lot of spotlight on Charlotte now, a lot of talk. There will be buzz around this pick, pun absolutely intended. And James Borrego said the right things last night, and I want to keep talking about it. We got Coach Matt Daugherty in studio, ACC Network analyst, longtime Tar Heel, former head coach and national champ, and he spent some time in the Pacers front office. He's got a lot of insight to offer us here this morning. I want to go back to some audio here, though. Jay Billis on Sports Radio FNZ 2 mornings ago was asked about LaMelo Ball's game, and this was his answer.
Well, I mean, it'll be a lot easier for him to be a really good defender, given his athleticism, skill set, all that length, size, than it will be for him to be a good shooter. He's not a good shooter, and he's going to have to work on it. In fact, I don't think he's as good a shooter as his brother, Lonzo, and he wasn't a good shooter coming out of UCLA. So he needs a lot of work there. It's not to say that he can't improve upon that. And it's been a while since he's finished the season, frankly. Been probably since 9th, 10th grade, maybe, since he's actually finished a basketball season.
There you go. That's Jay Billis here on Sports Radio FNZ.
Besides that, Mrs. Lincoln, yeah. How was the play?
So that was Jay Billis. One more thing I want you to hear is Paul Biancardi, former Horizon League Coach of the Year, National Recruiting Director with ESPN. Paul joined me yesterday, and he said, look, he was a bit more rosy. He said the pros absolutely outweigh the cons with LaMelo Ball.
The pros way outweigh the cons. And part of the cons with LaMelo Ball is obviously his dad, LeVar, which isn't, you know, he's not going to be with him, hopefully, when he comes to Charlotte. It seems like LaMelo and his dad, they haven't separated, but I think LaMelo now keeps him at bay. So the things that I'd be concerned about with LaMelo Ball are strictly on the court in terms of defensive buy-in and the ability to put effort out on the defensive end. He has length. He has great vision on offense, which would make him a terrific defender with his vision to anticipate on defense. It's just a question for LaMelo Ball getting in habits defensively, you know, buying into what the coach is selling and being a good teammate. And he's been professionalized twice, so the NBA is not going to blow him away in terms of pro basketball practices and what it's like to be around grown men. I think he'll fit in exceptionally well with any franchise.
There you go. Matt Daugherty, what do you think about what Paul Biancardi had to say right there?
No, I think it's the thing that really resonated with me is a couple things. One, they talk about buy-in on defense. That's concerning, right? You shouldn't have to try to get buy-in on defense if you're going to be a high-level NBA player. But the thing I liked is that he and you mentioned it earlier, he's been professionalized because he's played overseas. He's played in Europe. He's played in Australia. He's traveled a lot. He's experienced it with his brother. So he shouldn't be surprised with the rigors and all the potential distractions that go along with it.
No, I don't think the shock of the NBA level, the spotlight, the travel, none of that is going to, you know, it's not going to require the same adjustment period, if you will, that it requires of a lot of young guys who have no experience in this whatsoever. I think what you and I were talking about this with Mac as we were, you know, changing places between shows here, you know, that professionalization of LaMelo Ball twice and the life that he's lived and led, that is a lot different than many prospects have. There's some good and some bad to that. You know, I think that you could say, hey, has it stunted him a little bit? You know, has it, you know, tainted the way that he could be developed? Or, you know, has it basically desensitized him to the shock and awe of the NBA, and he can just focus on the basketball with the foundational skill set that he has. And I think at this point, you know, I still see people on the text line, some that are a bit more, I want to say cynical about it, saying, yeah, it's just another MKG or Adam Morrison pick. And Rich Cho was not in that room last night.
No.
Okay, this is Mitch Kupchak and James Borrego, the two guys that come from the Lakers and the Spurs. They know a thing or two about winning. They know a thing or two about evaluation. They might have gotten it wrong, but they don't think they did. And they stuck to their plan last night, by the way. They didn't trade up. They didn't give up assets. They didn't panic. They took the best player available on the board at number 3, which is what they said they were going to do. And they believe they can coach this kid into a player. I love the point you made earlier about this isn't a broken, deformed jump shot that needs to be completely reworked. This is an efficiency thing. Like, this is a take better shots, you know, learn how to play within the realms of this offense and with your teammates, and they can make him exponentially better in that way in a pretty short period of time.
Well, the other thing I always say in a draft or when I'm coaching a team, okay, you don't like to pick. Who would you choose? Who do you like better? Mm-hmm. Who are you gonna put at number three ahead of LaMelo Ball?
If it's just a name, I would have gone Wiseman. But to your point, we could nitpick
guys. No. I'm saying that Wiseman's taken.
Right, exactly.
Edwards is taken. Wiseman's. So who else do you pick?
That's the pick. I mean, he is that talented, folks. I mean, he really is that talented.
Do you pick a Patrick Williams? Do you pick a Halliburton? Do you pick, you know, do you pick Ogunquu? Who do you pick? And to me, there's really no decision. You pick LaMelo Ball.
You pick LaMelo Ball for basketball reasons. And I don't think this drove the decision. It's a good business decision, too.
Well, it's good business, but it's star potential.
Correct.
He has the potential to be the best player in this draft class.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
He has the potential to be the best player in this draft class. Not saying he will be. But he has the potential to be, and you're getting him at number three.
Right, and to Coach's point, we've heard some guys that you and I both respect, you know, smart guys, question what he could be. Jay Billis said he's talented, you know, he's got some questions elsewhere. Paul was a bit more complimentary. Spatola said this morning he didn't like the pick. Takes all over the place. Mike Schmitz last night throughout that broadcast on ESPN saying LaMelo's the best player in this draft.
Yeah,
he's the best talent. I think what he said was if he had played 30 nationally televised games in college basketball last year on a big-time Power 5 level, he said this guy would be the number one pick, runaway, no question about it, had he gone that route.
Right.
He's just gone a different route, and it's worth pointing out that a year ago, Kevin O'Connor had him at 33rd overall in his mock draft. You know, and after some scouts and pro personnel saw him play in Australia, you know, most, if not all of them said, yeah, he's completely changed my perception of who he is as a player. There are a lot of narratives and perceptions out there surrounding LaMelo Ball that we have to be fair about may not be true. And, you know, that's kind of the nature of narrative sometimes. Now, I want to at least touch on this right now before we take some phone calls and continue this conversation throughout the hour with Coach Daugherty. Last night, it wasn't just LaMelo Ball. They went with the number 32 overall pick with Duke big man Vernon Carey, 6'10", averaged nearly 18-9 last year, ACC Freshman of the Year, big year for him. And oh, by the way, he lost 33 pounds this offseason. Here's head coach James Borrego on their 32nd pick.
Yeah, big physical big, you know, can run the floor, plays a physical style, you know, commands attention on the interior. You know, we need help there at the big spot. You know, I've got to get to know him. I don't know him extremely well. That's my job now to get to know him a little bit more and figure him out. But we're excited about the pick, a big physical big, good hands, good touch. And, you know, it's my job and our job to develop him
now. Now, Coach, as an ACC network analyst and just a general basketball guru, you know a thing or two about Vernon Carey. Mm-hmm. I brought him up to Smoke last week. And I didn't bring him up in any prophetic way, predicting that they would pick him. But, you know, I'd been reading about Vernon losing 33 pounds this offseason, you know, and trying to get lighter and quicker and to physically adapt his body more toward today's game. When I pointed out last night that I liked that pick, you know, for a handful of reasons, he's a really productive player. Mm-hmm. And I'm intrigued by the weight loss because as soon as I said that, I had a couple of people responding to me saying, well, I don't know. I'm not sure he can defend the pick and roll at the NBA level. I think that's what the weight loss is for. And this is a guy with a pretty polished offensive skill set. He's got a good motor. He's productive. Again, it's a second round pick. The hit rate on those is not necessarily high. But this is one that I'm looking at thinking, I like that.
It's a hell of a pick. I was probably as excited about that almost as much as the Ball pick, because to get him in the second round, are you kidding me? And to fill a need, like, you know, we were talking last week trading up to get Wiseman. I'm not saying Carey's Wiseman. Obviously he's not, but he's kind of similar. And, you know, as a center, as a big body, that position now is really not asked to do as much as they were in the past. So can he run the floor? Can he rebound? Can he block some shots? Can he guard pick and roll? You know, it's a bonus if he can make an outside shot. I think he can or will be able to do all the things I just mentioned.
Yeah, and so you. By the way, last night they took LaMelo, their playmaker, their roll of the dice, the guy they think has superstar potential. They take a smart, tough kid from Duke who's put in a lot of work this offseason to change his body to be, you know, more adaptable to the current NBA. They trade for Nick Richardson, another 6'11 kid. Nick Richards from Kentucky,
6'11. I like Nick Richards. I've seen Nick Richards since high school. I think that kid, man, you know, again, in the NBA is a big, what do you need? You need a rim runner. You need a pick and roller. You need somebody who can show on pick and roll defense, a rebounder, impact shots around the rim. Nick Richards is a very underrated pick in this draft, in my opinion. I've always liked that kid since I saw him play in high school when he was growing up in New Jersey.
3-year guy at Kentucky for John Calipari. Mm-hmm. You know, didn't come in. I mean, came in, obviously, he played at Kentucky. Came in with some fanfare, but, you know, a little bit more developmental than maybe, say, a P.J. Washington or some of the guys he spit out that were one-and-dones. But I think he averaged 14-8, nearly 15-8 last year, played with P.J. Washington for a bit at Kentucky, and Calipari was raving about him last night. You know, a 6'10 Vernon Carey, a 6'11 Nick Richards, to go with a 6'11 Jalen McDaniels they drafted last year. You're starting to see a little bit clearer picture here. They're playing a bit of a volume numbers game with guys like that to try to hit on one of these dudes who could be a rim runner, rim protector, rebounder, but also a special offensive talent.
Well, they needed size. You know, even though the NBA has gotten smaller, Zeller was really their own big, and P.J. Washington was playing some small ball five. The Hornets needed size on their roster, quality size, and now they have that. So I really hats off to Mitch and the staff for getting really good players and filling needs at the same time. I think it's a productive draft.
And we haven't even gotten to Grant Riller yet, the shooting guard from College of Charleston. Mm-hmm. Earl Grant's a guy that, you know, I've been following down there in Charleston for several years since he's taken the job. And I know the kind of guys that he recruits. I know the way that he coaches. And I'm intrigued, as a lot of people are, you know, by Grant Riller. And I want to talk a bit about that next, because, again, second rounders, I saw Bobby Marks last night tweet out that, you know, 72% of second round picks go on to stick on rosters and, you know, become long-term guys in the NBA. That number drops to, like, you know, I'm sorry, 72% never make it. So about 18 or 28% of guys in the second round stick. Mm-hmm. You get to pick 48 through 60, it drops to 18%. So we know the odds are low. But Riller is intriguing. I do want to talk about that. We'll come back. Trey, Rob, everybody on the phone lines, hang right there. Coach Daugherty and I will take your phone calls when we come back. I want to know what Hornets Nation thinks about the picks last night. I think they might have pulled off another solid haul of talent and bringing it into this Hornets organization. Your calls, your thoughts are next. You're in the clubhouse on Sports Radio FNZ.
Sports Radio FNZ.
The NFL plays here exclusively every Monday, Thursday, and Sunday nights.
The middle of the end zone for the touchdown.
We are Charlotte.
Sports Radio FNZ.
I definitely feel great falling into with them, but the way of falling down, I know I never looked at it like that, because, like I say, whatever happens, happens, and I feel like it's God's plan. So wherever he wanted to put me, that's where he put me, and I feel like he's going to let me blossom there.
Last night, your Charlotte Hornets selecting that young man right there, LaMelo Ball, third overall pick in the first round of the 2020 NBA draft. And they followed it up with Duke center Vernon Carey Jr., followed by Grant Riller, 56th overall pick from the College of Charleston. And as Coach Matt Daugherty sitting in early on this Thursday in studio with us, I was just going back through some archives, Coach, and realized that I called a Grant Riller game once upon a time back at TD Arena in Charleston, South Carolina in November, on my birthday, November 2016. Grant Riller, as a freshman for Earl Grant, dropped 21 points in that game. And he's a shooter. He can fill it up. And there are a lot of people out there, some listeners, saying they think that he's got a chance to be a great second round pick.
Well, I tell you what, there's been some second round gems. Fred Van Vliet is one of them. You can go down the line. Isaiah Thomas, the lefty out of Washington. There's value. And that's where, to me, your staff, your scouting staff, from Buzz Peterson on down, going out and really studying and putting your blinders on and not going with the crowd. It's easy to say, okay, yeah, who are you looking at? Who do they like? And going with the herd mentality, because then there's less risk, because if it's a bust, people say, well, I'm not the only one. They liked them too. So to stick your neck out a little bit and look at a kid, sometimes that's, we talk about hiding in plain sight. Sometimes there's players in your vicinity that you don't like as much as the player halfway across the country for whatever reason. But the fact that he's in the backyard, they've got to see him, and they like him, and he can do something. What can you do at an NBA level? That's the only thing you have to answer, especially when you get outside the lottery. What can you do at an NBA level? He can shoot the ball. What's one of the most valuable skills in the NBA? Shooting the ball.
Yep. And that's with a guy like LaMelo Ball, what you need to continue to compile. You've drafted some young bigs. You've got now Vernon Carey and Nick Richards, in addition to Jalen McDaniels. You know, you brought some length and some athleticism in via the draft to the front court. They need to go get some shooting, and they drafted some shooting last night, to Coach's point. Let's take a couple of phone calls here from Hornets fans who want to talk. Trey is up first, and he has some thoughts on the Hornets draft. Trey, I appreciate you holding, buddy. How are you?
Man, I'm all right, man. Bailey, love the show, man. First time calling.
Thank you.
I listen to Mag all the time. But, man, you know, you guys covered what I wanted to say. You know, you had Steve Smith on the other day, and a lot of Panthers and Hornets fans are getting mad about picks and moves that we make. We're not GMs. And me, personally, I trust the process. And just like you said, you covered about the size. Man, look at these lineups that we can have on the court.
Yep.
Monk and Ball and the young guys. You said the guy out of Duke. And I'm a USC guy. Man, that guy can play ball, man. You know, and like I said, I'm going to take it out there. I trust the process. I like the future. It looks promising.
I'm with you, man. I appreciate that, Trey.
Hey, first of all, Trey's first-time caller.
Yep.
He's a Carolina guy.
Mm-hmm.
Amen, Trey.
So you
but
like
he
him.
Respects ballers, right? So, like, I like Carey. I mean, to me, that's a first-round talent. And to get him in the second round, what a steal.
He had a first-round, kind of like Devontae, you know, a couple of years ago. Vernon had some first-round grades on him, you know, mm-hmm. from teams around the league. And the fact that he played at 6'10", 270 last year, you know, he looked like a more traditional back-to-the-basket big, which I think scared some people off. Vernon Carey, 15 years ago, would have been a no-doubter, you know, lock top 10 pick in the NBA draft, at least.
Correct.
And so I think the fact that he lost that weight, knowing that he needed to adjust his body to the NBA game, and you see some refinement already offensively, leads you to believe that even if he doesn't turn out to be an elite defender in the NBA, which we're all waiting to find out what he'll look like on the defensive end, he looks like he could come in and make an impact long-term on the offensive end with what he already has displayed from his offensive skill set.
Yeah, and I mean, he's a talented dude. I'm excited. And I'm sure Mitch and the staff, Mitch doesn't show a lot of excitement because he's so low-key and cards close to the vest. But I'm sure there was some high-fiving going on remotely, I don't know how their draft room was set up, when Carey fell to them.
Yeah, and by the way, Mitch Kupchak will join me coming up in just over an hour. Noon, exactly, is when Mitch is expected to join the show, and I'll pepper Mitch with questions about all the things they decided to do last night and things they might have decided not to do. But for now, we go back to the Asa Abloy phone lines. Rob wants to talk about LaMelo Ball. Rob, what's on your mind, bud?
Hey, you know a guy they call Ball who played with Dallas called Luka Doncic? That's what Charlotte got right there. I'm going to tell you, he's going to show y'all some things. But I would like Jordan to try to get Mark Jackson on that coaching staff. That's what I like to do. If you do that, and you're going to see a straight up stupid squad. They're going to have a real stupid young squad.
Mark Jackson is in the former point guard / Warriors head coach?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Please get him on that staff.
I appreciate the phone call. I don't think – look, I can't rule anything out. I don't think that's happening. I don't think Mark Jackson's going back to anybody's bench unless it's as a head coach, and he's got a pretty cushy gig at ESPN. So I don't think Mark Jackson's coming out of that booth for anything less than a head coaching job. Do you?
That was a pretty random call.
I got to be honest. The Mark Jackson thing, Rob, I love you. You call me from time to time. You're always welcome to, but that was I didn't expect to hear that. I do like the enthusiasm about the draft class, though. I really do. And there are some that are down on it. I get it. Like our buddy Chad. I love Chad to death, but Chad just sent me in a Grant Riller then greater than Mello text. He likes the Riller pick at 56 better than LaMelo Ball. Chad, you know that I was a Wiseman guy. I had a clever tweet in my drafts last night about Wiseman. I was ready. Smoke, here's what I had in my drafts. It said, you know, a wise man once said to pay attention to the number 32. Welcome to Charlotte, James Wiseman. And I had to delete it because LaMelo Ball ended up being the pick. But I've always said I could be convinced about LaMelo Ball, because if you just separate the noise and the baggage and the father and LeVar's bluster, and you just look at this kid's game, and the frame and the athleticism, you understand why there's excitement there for them to, for Borrego and the coaching staff to get their hands on him and try to mold him.
Yeah, by the way, you're now 0-2 on premonitions in the NBA. The lottery and now this one right here.
But this year was strong, man. I felt like I put together a really strong numerological case for James Wiseman. I'm just throwing it out there.
Well, your feelings were lying to you.
Okay, that's fine.
But I mean, I agree with you. When you look at the guy's ball handling skills and his vision for the court, it is... A 19-year-old shouldn't be that good doing that.
Well, and yeah, well, let's do this. Let's squeeze in Jonathan before we get some final thoughts here from Coach Daugherty. Jonathan, I appreciate you holding. What's on your mind?
What's going on, Kyle? What's going on, Coach?
How you doing, Jonathan?
I'm all right. Now, I am at a point where the draft, I really liked it because, like you guys said, they addressed the needs that they really needed to address. But my thing is, I'm interested to see how they're going to use ball with Graham and, you know, Bridges, all of them on the court at the same time. And my thought is that I'm thinking that they're going to let ball run the point and have Devontae off the ball. And I just wanted to get you guys' take on how these rookies are going to be implemented into the Hornets scheme and what they want to do going forward.
I think it's a great question, Jonathan. I appreciate the phone call. I told you, Coach, before the show started that I'm looking at a bit of a logjam in the backcourt there with Graham and Rozier, who they just paid to come here, right? Mm-hmm. The Graham and Rozier and Malik Monk, who was playing excellent basketball before his suspension, you know, and now LaMelo Ball. The priority has to be to develop LaMelo Ball, so he has to play. I can't say I guarantee it or even that I'm necessarily predicting it, but I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if we see a trade deal worked in the next week or two to clear up a little bit of room in that backcourt and to try to continue molding this roster, moving one of those guys out of there possibly. Maybe even a guy like Terry Rozier.
I think the Rozier's the odd man out when I look at it because you've got to go with ball at the point. I think you move Graham to the two. That's going to help him because, the focus of the scouting report was solely on him last year. He had a great start to the season. Now, when you're bringing the ball up the court, everyone can see you. Now, if you're coming off the ball and running off of baseline screens, now defenses can't see you. They got to turn their head. It's easy to lose sight, and it's less work as opposed to him coming off of ball screens all the time, getting blitzed, having to give it up. So I think that I could see a rotation of Ball and Graham in the backcourt with Monk coming off the bench and Rozier having to come off the bench, or they got to trade him. Yeah. Now, it's a hefty price tag, but I think he's the odd man out because I don't trust Rozier as much. He probably is who he is by now, and I don't see the upside that you will get with a ball and also the value because of the contracts.
To the people out there, and there are those, and again, I lean on you for this stuff because you teach the game. You've done it for a living. The people that say, you drafted a guy that can't shoot. You drafted a guard that can't shoot. Seems to me there's an important distinction that needs to be made here, and you've touched on it already. This is not a broken jump shot, broken mechanics, something that needs to be completely rebuilt. LaMelo's issues when it comes to shooting the jumper right now, Coach, I think are more about shot selection and, you know, a little bit of, you know, mechanical tweaks. But I watch him shoot the jump shot. We were just watching highlights up here during the break. I mean, he's got such a quick release on that jump shot. There's a little bit of Steph Curry in the release. I'm not, you know, in no other way am I comparing it. But, I mean, there's a quick release. It's very simple. That looks like a shot that can be, you know, tweaked a little bit. And you could really improve his numbers pretty quickly.
Yeah, I'm looking at his shots right now. His elbow flies a little bit. But he has got a good follow through. I think the ball spins pretty good. His form is not awful. It's not broken. Again, the elbow flies. It's a quick release. He's got range. Part of the percentages are a big part of the fact that he has to take bad shots.
Yeah, that again, it's not. I think that's a really big distinction that needs to be made when it comes to this young man. I really do. So on total here, as we get set to let you go, you got a busy day. On total, I mean, the four guys we're talking about here, I know it flies by. LaMelo and Carey and Richards and Riller. What grade would you give it? I mean, even if it's not a grade, how do you walk away feeling from last night?
I feel good.
Yeah.
No, I'm excited. I'm excited for Mitch, for Michael, for Buzz as personal friends, but I'm also excited as a Charlotte Hornet basketball fan, I think this is a good day. It's a good day to be a Hornet.
I do too. I got a lot to say about this. Before you sneak out of here, real quick, Rick Pitino, a guy you and I talked about not that long ago when he made his triumphant return back to college basketball at Iona. Rick is pleading for people, the NCAA, to push the tournament back, to do May Madness this spring, because otherwise it's not going to work. What do you think about that?
I think it makes some sense. I think it's a safe bet. It's easier said than done because of facilities, but I think there's a lot of sense behind that comment.
All right, Coach, good to see you, buddy. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you very much.
Coach Matt Daugherty, ACC Network Analyst, longtime Tar Heel, former head coach, national champion, and really a good dude. Joining us early here on this Thursday, coming in post-draft to break it all down here in the opening hour. We still have some callers that want to talk. This is a day where I open the phone lines wide open pretty much all day long. Phone lines open. Your thoughts on LaMelo Ball, Vernon Carey, Nick Richards, Grant Riller, a trade you'd like to see happen. Coach and I agree there's a log jam in that backcourt that I do think results in a deal, if not very soon, in the pretty short-term future. So your thoughts on all of that. And there is one aspect of this team, now that the draft is completed, that I think makes for an obvious next move. I'll tell you next, here in the Clubhouse on Sports Radio FNZ.